Good day and welcome to this 2024 Global Economic Pulse Check sponsored by PSG Wealth. Now, the global economy's gradual recovery from the pandemic and Russia's invasion of Ukraine is still on track. China's economy is rebounding rapidly. Supply chain disruptions are easing, as are war-related interruptions to energy and food markets. Simultaneously, the significant and coordinated tightening of monetary policy by most central banks should begin to bear fruit, with inflation returning somewhere to normal or to the goal rates. But what is the global economic outlook for 2024, and how have markets fared thus far? My name is Mbuya Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and I'm going to be your host for what looks to be a really informative discussion. And joining us to answer some of the important questions around this is Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth. Adrian, greetings to you today.
Hi, Madiwa, and a warm hello to everybody listening.
A warm hello indeed. Now, Adrian, there's been a lot that's been going on, as we said just now, in terms of where the global economy is, headed, where it's looking, issues around inflation. There's still, some of that geopolitical pressure that's going on. What is the latest on the global economic health front?
Yeah, it's actually quite a strange situation that we find ourselves in. You'll be aware of the saying that if there's a cough or a sneeze in the US, then the others get a cold as well. But it seems like the rest of the world is completely different to what we've seen in the US. I mean, the US growth has been particularly strong. The latest numbers that came out suggest that they're growing at 3.4% per annum. And remember, that's real GDP growth. That's in nominal terms. If we assume that the inflation rate, latest numbers, is 3.5% that came out. So in nominal terms, they're growing just short of 7% per annum. That's astounding. And not only because it's on its own quite a high number, also because it hasn't been contagion into the rest of the global economy. I mean, Europe has been under enormous pressure, although probably it's been less severe than what was widely expected. Growth has still stagnated. So the EU has recorded 0% growth over the last 6 months. So each of the last two quarters, they came out with 0%. And it's actually now at a point where 13 countries in Europe are either in a technical recession or on the verge of a technical recession. And that would include some of the bigger economies in that bloc, so Germany and France. In the UK, they are already in a technical recession, recording negative growth over the last two quarters. China, that we've been used to astounding growth numbers, they're prodding along at 1% now. And Japan is at 0.1%. So there's no growth in Asia either, at least not from the bigger counterparts. In South Africa, we actually managed to narrowly avoid a technical recession. So the last print that came out was 10 basis points GDP growth. So we know that the growth is constrained over here. So global growth, excluding the US, is actually very, very slow, and economies are desperate for rate cuts. Yeah, so if you look at it just from the more important economies, the G20, the US is at 3.4, as I mentioned, and the runner-up is at half of that. That's India at 1.7% and China at 1%. And then the list goes down into basis points. So growth has been lacking, and all the growth that we see is more broadly just coming out of the US environment. So quite strange.
It is a very interesting situation to be in, and I like what you're saying, to say that it's quite strange. I would actually be curious to understand, because that statement you made at the beginning about how if the US sneezes or has a cold, everyone else catches it. But I'm just wondering how come the rest of us aren't catching, that positive momentum that has been experienced in the US. Why, perhaps that hasn't filtered into the rest of the world or into the rest of the markets.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I mean, the theory has always been, if everything's okay in the US, everybody else is okay. And if they suffer, then we shouldn't expect good times. So I think what we're seeing now is the exact opposite of that, actually. So really defying the more entrenched economic theory or beliefs around how these things work. So it's really interesting how things are panning out. What's thinking ahead is what might we expect in the future. So if we think that the full effects of interest rates in the US is still to come through and they do have a harder landing, should we expect the other parts of the globe also to continue to suffer, or is there going to be a even stranger anomaly where other countries are doing well in spite of the US lagging? So it's definitely set to be a interesting period for economic growth numbers.
Yeah, most certainly. I sort of have a feeling that by the end of the decade, we would have probably redefined a lot of what has been considered to be established, economic theory, or at least trends that people thought were entrenched. We would have either reestablished, rebased, or at least pivoted away from a lot of the thinking that has been quite fundamental to how we operate in the global economy. Now, Adrian, we just want to then switch over to the equities markets. How have equities been behaving so far in 2024?
Yeah, I think what we've seen so far is actually quite a similar story. So, yes, global equities are up 9.4% in dollar terms. So it's been an absolutely phenomenal period. But global equities, excluding what we've seen in the US, is up only 4.8% in dollar terms, and in rand terms, only 1.3%. So again, they're quite similar to the economic story. The returns have been coming out of the US equity markets and not really out of anything else, nothing meaningful to talk about, at least. And then we also know where that growth has come from within the US. It's largely been focused around the mega cap stocks, and the returns from elsewhere haven't been great at all. So if we look at the earnings forecast currently for the big seven, the expected growth numbers are in the 30s at the moment, where consensus analyst forecast for the remainder of the index is actually negative 2% for the balance of the S&P 500. So again, they're quite interesting to note that it is largely US focused, but then also within the US, more around the mega caps. And emerging markets continue to struggle. You know, emerging markets are down 1.1% in rand terms for the quarter, and South Africa is sort of a geared emerging market call. And we're down 2.2% for the first quarter. But again, things are quite volatile. We've seen a much better start to April. Then things seem to recede a little bit. Commodity prices have been higher, and that's really what's been pushing our market, or at least keeping it a little bit higher over the short term. Yeah, so as I say, quite similar to the economic story.
Yeah, once again, you know, these interesting trends coming through, and our relation, the global economy's relation to the US, being spotlighted once again. And I'm now curious to then understand, Adrian, you and I talk quite frequently about the state of either the local economy in South Africa or the global. How have some of these factors that you've highlighted affected your outlook, if at all, about the economy, right? Have there been any changes to your view about either the economy or the markets since the start of the year? Because it certainly does, seem as some of these data points get released, one either tweaks or reaffirms their stance on, where the markets are.
Yeah, so that's also really interesting, because I mean, it's 3 months that have passed. You wouldn't expect the views to really change materially over such a short period, and they haven't really. But I think we feel quite differently about where we stand, because at the beginning of the year, it's very difficult to be negative on the US markets, given that the markets was expecting at that point in time 6 rate cuts, and the economy is still growing quite nicely. And so there isn't, other than for valuations, really much that you can critique, especially if you look at the economic growth numbers. But yet we felt, like I mentioned before, we felt that the full effect of the high interest rate environment that we saw from 22 onwards is still yet to have its full impact on the economy. But obviously, we're now 3 months down the line, and valuations have moved even higher, and the expensive companies are now even more expensive, and interest rate cut expectations have receded from 6 to 3. And even now, with the high inflation print that's come out, even the 3 is now in question. So I think it's a little bit more comfortable for us to be a little bit weary of our expectations for the US than what we were at the beginning of the year, but the call still remains the same. I think one other thing is, if you look at some of the other DMs, they are starting to look quite interesting. And granted, yes, I've mentioned the low growth numbers in Japan and UK and broader Europe, but at the same time, the valuations are looking very, very low, especially for selected counters, if you're a little bit pickier in terms of how you select your equities. And I think there, the interest rate cut story is a little bit clearer. These economies are in dire need of cuts and quite likely to get them. So that's definitely starting to look a little bit more interesting. EMs are all still struggling, and we remain optimistic around the view for those. So we think that could change quite quickly. So even though EMs is a little bit of a riskier call, I think there's still a place for it in a diversified portfolio. So all said and done, it's not so much that there's been a change in the view, it's just that the way we feel about those different calls have changed a little bit.
With everything that we're talking about this, in this session, Adrian, it does seem as if, from a pulse check point of view, things are ticking forward. You have the US economy running a little bit, hotter than people expected. A lot of countries, still struggling and, really wanting and pressing for those rate cuts to come through. And, I like what you said about if you're picky about some of the counters that you're going to invest in, that there are some good opportunities where valuations are still on the lower side in other markets. Is anything still surprising you, or has anything surprised you at the moment, just given everything that we're talking about?
Yeah, I think how strong the US market has been a big surprise, and not only because the valuations are so high, but because it's an election year. So typically what you find, if you look at the historic data, is that in an election year, the US markets are quite slow. So remember, they always vote in November. And typically, if you look at the data from January through to June, the markets tend to be a little bit volatile, but quite flat, because people are sitting on the sidelines and they want clarity around who's going to win the election, or at least have a better idea of who the candidates are and where things are likely to go. And then in the latter stages of the year, once that clarity is there, the markets tend to rally. In this year so far, the market is sort of saying, it doesn't matter who's going to win the election. Markets just need to go higher, and markets have just moved in a very strong way, much higher. So that's the one surprise. The other surprise for me is the divergence in the performance of some of these mega sevens. So, most of the research would either suggest that you pro the growth in them and you're supportive of the tech stocks, or you're a little bit weary on the valuation side, which is sort of where we've been. But it's always spoken of more broadly as Mag 7. Is there a bubble or is it an opportunity? But if you look at what's happened with the outcomes from a return perspective, we all know about NVIDIA, that's up 78% for the quarter. But on the other side, we've got Tesla, that's down 35% over that same period. And it's actually one of the worst performing counters on the exchange over that period. So quite interesting to note that as well. I don't know whether that's signaling cracks in that environment, but I think it's a good thing that they're no longer sort of bundled into one another, because we've always been advocates that you need to assess each stock on its own merit. So it seems like that's starting to happen. And the broader tech rally is not seen as one homogenous group that's just being pushed up. They do have somewhat different drivers, and the market seems to appreciate that. So I think that's probably a positive development, but surprising nonetheless.
Very surprising. I was literally going to ask if we're in bubble territory. So I'm glad that, you're giving us the view from that point of view. But I do need to ask this, you know, just based on what we spoke about, both, you know, US equities as well as real GDP point of view. The momentum we're seeing in that market, you know, the US, where everyone else is, you know, sort of still struggling, do we expect that growth momentum to be sustained, or are there a couple of factors that are maybe synchronous to this moment right now?
If you look at the US, a lot hinges on the consumer. So, I mean, that constitutes more than two-thirds of the economic growth or the GDP number. Everything else is either under a bit of pressure or quite small. So if you look at the current account, for example, that's negative because they still continue to import more than what they export. And government spending is going to be under pressure because we know the fiscal situation is not great in the US either. But if you look at the consumer, on the surface, it looks to be okay. Consumer spending keeps ticking over. But I mean, we've touched before on the excess savings that US consumers accumulated through COVID, and that's running out. And also quite interesting to see where the credit card rates are at the moment. So that's also going to curb spending quite a bit because that's now well north of 20% interest that you pay on your credit card, which is a lot higher than what US consumers would be used to. So there's definitely a few bumps in the road that can definitely topple things over or at least put some strain on it, which would be our view. So I think we've got to see where those rate cuts are going to have an impact and how quickly things are going to slow down. That's the key call. Like I say, so far so good, but like I would still say there's still quite a few things that you need to consider before you get really secure around your growth expectations for the US and by implication also the earnings growth expectations for the stocks in that market.
Okay, so maybe where we can end off, Adrian, because we've discussed quite at length, you know, what's happening in these various markets, you know, and particularly the US, keen to see how that one is going to develop over time. But for investors, given the fact that this is our, you know, the latest in terms of where the economic pulse check is, for the balance of the year, right, because we've just come out of the first quarter, what should investors expect for the balance of 2024?
I would say, I mean, it's aligned with our earlier conversation around expectations for the year that we had at the beginning of the year, where we said volatility is going to be a key feature of the year, and I think that's set to continue. There's just too much happening around the globe, a lot of geopolitics, commodity prices are volatile, the interest rate picture and inflation picture, both of those are still very uncertain. So I think volatility is set to continue. And like I said, we worry about what US markets could do when bad news starts to filter through. Investors in that market tend to be a lot more fickle. You know, it's literally a case of NVIDIA comes out with one quarter that doesn't look great, and obviously that will propel things in the broader market taking strain. That being said, I think there's a lot to look forward to in the coming quarter, and I think this coming quarter is probably going to be the most important quarter of the year. And personally, I'm hoping that that's going to sort of lay a platform for the balance of the year then from July onwards for more positive outcomes. But if you look at the things that South African investors can expect is obviously the elections will pass through once that's done. So, you know, we currently guys are sitting on the sidelines waiting for more clarity. I think that's going to pass. What we see in the energy availability factor and load shedding, that's already starting to look positive, but I think we're going to see some real change over the quarter, which will be very good news. At the same time, interest rates are likely to move lower as well. For me, I think it's quite likely that we'll see some rate cut at the meeting on 18 July, so the MPC meeting there. 30 May might be a bit soon, because I would suspect that the MPC will follow the Fed lower. So the MPC won't lead the way down on interest rates. That being said, we have already seen other emerging markets commence their rate cutting cycle. So, but I think generally for the MPC, they're more concerned about the currency. Therefore, they're likely to lead the Fed down. And they've got their next meeting scheduled for the 1st of May. But given what's happened now with the latest inflation print, unlikely that they'll cut there. So they'll probably only consider cutting on June the 12th, the following month. And then our next meeting after that is the one in 18 July. So that's potentially good news. And then also the higher energy prices that we've seen come through now in April, we might see a bit of a repeat to what we saw in the previous commodity cycle, where that was really good for tax collections and the fiscus. So yeah, let's hope we see the elections pass through smoothly. Energy prices remain high and interest rates low. I think that could really be very positive for the coming quarter, and then provide the platform for the balance of the year, as I mentioned.
So as you've heard, the coming quarter, or the current second quarter, being very key to how the rest or the balance of 2024 is going to go, Adrian, just saying that it's going to likely provide a platform, you know, that will inform the rest of the year for South Africa in particular. You have factors such as an election that's going to be happening during that period. Also, at the same time, considering, you know, where we are when it comes to energy availability. But at the same time, you know, zooming out to say that, you know, where do we see, you know, the rate cutting cycle actually beginning? You know, a number of countries having already started, but, you know, where does the US sit? And, you know, part of that expectation is that, you know, South Africa will be watching to see what happens there before starting to make a move in the local market. Also talking about the state of equities markets, you know, and the global economy, US being a bit of an outlier right now. Some people thinking that that's an economy that's running a little bit too hot right now. Obviously, some conversations about, you know, are we in a bubble of some sort? But Adrian, you know, tempering some of that, you know, saying that there are, you know, a number of different drivers that are pushing things in that particular market, both in the real economy as well as, you know, on the equity side, and also talking about the fact that you're more or less still in line with the start of the year in terms of the outlook, still a little bit too soon to truly have a change in opinion, despite some of these prints that are coming out. But he has certainly been surprised by just how strong the US economy has been. So that's been it for this conversation around the 2024 Global Economic Pulse Check, sponsored by PSG Wealth. Thank you so much to Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth, for leading us through this particular conversation. Adrian, thank you so much for just shedding some of your insight on what's going on in the global economy.
It's a big pleasure. Thanks for doing it.
So that's it. I've been your host, Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.